Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Pastor Schaefer here. This is the most important day to remember in the church on our calendar, related to the time of Passover, so we can pin down when exactly this happened, because the Jewish calendar can pin down Passover. And so this is the greatest day for the church to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope all of you are having a great day. I know with the virus we are not meeting in our churches, but nonetheless we can still celebrate and remember the resurrection of our Savior. Well, I want to start out this morning by telling you what Resurrection Sunday is not. I want to talk about what it is not. Now, this is going to blow your mind. I know it will, because it blew my mind. I want to read something to you from Wikipedia, what they do in Finland and Sweden. And so they have these Easter witches. Yes, you heard me right. Easter witches, or Easter hags. It's an old Swedish legend about witches flying to a place called Blockula on brooms on the Thursday before Easter, or on the night between the Wednesday and Thursday before, and returning on Resurrection Sunday. And so in Sweden and Swedish-speaking parts of Finland, it is an Easter tradition for children to dress as witches, old women, and old men, and go door to door for treats, similar to the trick-or-treating tradition of Halloween on Monday, Thursday, or the day before Easter. The children sometimes present handmade cards and other greetings. I was completely blown away when I learned about Easter witches. This is not what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. We also don't celebrate the Easter Bunny, also called the Easter Rabbit or Easter Hare, which is a folkloric figure and symbol of Easter depicted as a rabbit bringing Easter eggs. Originating among German Lutherans, the Easter Hare originally played the role of a judge, evaluating whether children were good or disobedient in behavior at the start of the season of Eastertide. The Easter Bunny is sometimes depicted with clothes. In legend, the creature carries colored eggs in his basket, candy, and sometimes also toys, to the homes of children, and as such shows similarities to Santa Claus or the Christ kind, as they bring gifts to children on the night before their respective holidays. So the custom was first mentioned in George Frank von Frankenau's De Ovis Pasculabis, which means about Easter eggs, in 1682, referring to a German tradition of an Easter hare bringing Easter eggs for the children. The hare was a popular motif in medieval church art. In ancient times, it was widely believed that the hare was a hermaphrodite, the idea that a hare could reproduce without loss of virginity, led to an association with the Virgin Mary with hares, sometimes occurring in illuminated manuscripts and Northern European paintings of the Virgin and Christ Child. It may also have been associated with the Holy Trinity, as in the three hares motif. Now, what I just read to you about the Easter Bunny and Easter witches, I got from Wikipedia, and these people, you know, they're not saved, they're not born again. But even they know better than Easter witches and Easter eggs and Easter rabbits and all those things. So this is not what we celebrate when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Let's talk about what we are celebrating. Matthew 28 verses 1 through 10. Let me just turn there in my Bible. I want to read to Matthew's account of what happened on Resurrection Sunday morning. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle that actually happened. It is a real event that literally happened. We believe that Jesus' human body that had lie there decomposing there in the tomb, on the third day, it rose again. His body was transformed into a glorified human body, rejoined to his soul and spirit, humanly speaking, and he became the glorified God-man. And this was a great miracle. He died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins. And then he rose again in victory. And so the resurrection is just so essential. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 for a moment. And I haven't even really gotten to my message yet, but this is all getting ready here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you can't even be saved. You can't be born again unless you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the keystone of our faith. It's such an important thing to believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A pivotal doctrine in the Christian faith. And what we're doing is remembering the day that this happened, because it is such an important day for us as believers. And yet the devil has taken this and turned it into a circus sideshow with Easter witches and Easter bunnies and all these things, which completely misses the point of the whole thing. And it's just satanic to turn what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross and his resurrection and then supersede the whole thing with things from folklore, and it's just horrible. And so what I want to really share with you, this is all introductory, but what I want to really share with you this morning is, what if there is no resurrection? I'm saying it's important. And in the Bible it talks about what if there wasn't a resurrection. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read to you verses 12 through 19. If there is no resurrection is the title of this message. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Gracious Heavenly Father, these verses talk about the importance of the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a pivotal event, a real event that actually happened, one that is necessary to believe in order to be saved. We also know that the Bible teaches that we as believers someday will be resurrected and get our resurrection bodies. Also, another pivotal thing for us to believe and to look forward to. And so this morning, Lord, as we look at this message, as I go through this, help us to understand the importance of the resurrection. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, three things. If there be no resurrection, then in verses 12 and 13, Christ is still dead. Number two, Paul's message was wrong, verses 14 through 16. And then we are still in our sins, verses 17 through 19. So, if there was no resurrection, Christ is still dead. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. In other words, he's still dead. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. We know that he had a real physical resurrection body, glorified body, at the resurrection. It wasn't just some sort of a spiritual thing. It was a physical resurrection that involved his physical body. But back in Bible days, there were some that denied that. You wouldn't want to deny the resurrection, because the verse here in verse 12 is teaching that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then what about us? Well, take a look in 1 John 3:2 for a moment. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, the time of the rapture, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. In other words, we're going to get resurrection bodies that will be like his body. We'll also be resurrected. Well, there were folks back in Bible days and even today that denied the resurrection. Some say that Christ was not physically resurrected. Some say that we won't be physically resurrected and that our spirits will just live on in heaven. But that's not true. Both the Lord Jesus Christ and we as believers will be resurrected. So if there's no resurrection, Christ is still dead, verses 12 and 13. Look at verse 13. It says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." He is still dead. He's still hanging on the cross. And you know that some religions depict Christ as still hanging on the cross. Now, our cross is empty because we really believe in the resurrection. We don't believe he's still on the cross. We know that he's in heaven, and he's there praying and interceding for us, being our advocate in heaven. Our Savior is alive. He is not on a cross dead. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Hebrews 10, 12 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Hebrews 10 and verse 12 says this, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God," the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually sitting at the right hand of God in his glorified body right now. He has been resurrected. The Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. And so to deny the resurrection, it says back in 1 Corinthians 15, would mean that Christ would still be dead, verses 12 and 13. All right, secondly, to deny the resurrection, if there is no resurrection, then Paul's message was wrong, verses 14 through 16. It says this, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." And so, to deny the resurrection, to say that there is no resurrection, would mean that Paul's message was wrong. Notice verse 14, first part of the verse. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, he says. Our preaching is empty, it's void, it's useless, it's full of air. There's no point to it if there's no resurrection. And so our preaching would be vain. And then our faith would also be vain. Look at the second part of verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Why spend time in church? You might as well go to play golf or go to the beach or do something else if there's no resurrection. No point in it. And then in verse 15, notice what it says. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And so there's a connection here between our resurrection and Christ's resurrection. And so we would be false witnesses. If we've been talking about the resurrection, if it's not even true, the message wouldn't even be right. We would be a liar. We'd be a false witness. And so Paul's message would be wrong, verses 14 through 16. Verse 16 says, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." And so Paul's message would be wrong. And so if there is no resurrection, Christ is still dead, verses 12 and 13. And Paul's message was wrong, and our faith is even wrong, verses 14 through 16. And then worst of all, if there is no resurrection, we are still in our sins. Look at verses 17 through 19. Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." So three things here. We're still in our sins. Our faith is vain, verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." It's totally useless. It's good for nothing. A dead Christ isn't going to help anyone. And yet we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He was resurrected from the dead. And so our faith would be vain if it wasn't true. And then also notice in verse 17, the second part of the verse, "Ye are yet in your sins." The crucified, risen Savior that we believe he's the one who died for our sins. And Christianity promises that our sins are forgiven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. But we would still be in our sins if there is no resurrection. The whole thing would be null and void. That's the second part of verse 17. And then look at verse 18. "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." In other words, people who have died before us, they're all in hell. Those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it would have no effect if there's no resurrection. And so their bodies are rotting away. There's no future resurrection. And all the concepts about heaven that we see in the movies, and they talk about how everyone's going to go to heaven and all that other stuff. And yet, we know better than that. We know that only those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are going to go to heaven. And if there's no resurrection, then all of that is wrong, and the dead in Christ are perished, as it says in verse 18. And then, verse 19, the capstone of the whole thing. If there's no resurrection, then we are most miserable. It says in verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." The word miserable here means pitied. It would mean that we gambled everything and lost. It would mean that we would be living for something that is untrue if there is no resurrection. But thank the Lord for verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So Christ was resurrected, as Paul says. He's the first one. And all the other believers down through the ages that have put their faith and trust in Christ will be resurrected. and so will we if we happen to be alive at the time of the rapture. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just in closing here, especially in light of this COVID virus right now. We need to look ahead to the rapture. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll pick it up in verse 13. Wonderful passage here. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So he was resurrected. People who have died in Christ, that were believers, they'll also be resurrected. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, the dead ones. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." They'll get their resurrection bodies first, verse 16. And then in verse 17, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Okay? This passage is talking about our resurrection. Christ was resurrected, and we will be too at some point in the future. We don't know when the rapture will happen. We're not going to set dates. Seems like it could be very soon, but we don't really know. But we have a future with the Lord Jesus, and it all comes back to the resurrection, which is the capstone of our faith. And it really did happen that morning, that miracle of the resurrection, and that is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. It has nothing to do with a bunny or a hare or witches or any of that stuff. It has everything to do with what the Bible says. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Resurrection Sunday, when we remember what Christ did, how he rose again from the grave on that day. What a victorious day. What a wonderful day. And his resurrection guarantees our resurrection if we know Christ is our Savior. And Lord, if there's someone listening to this, maybe they're confused by what I'm saying, maybe they're unable to lay hold of the things I'm talking about from the Bible, perhaps they need to be born again. Perhaps they need to be saved. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners right from birth, right from conception, we're sinners. And we need to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ went and died on Calvary's cross and paid for the sins of the whole world on that cross as he hung there and died. And that payment is all held in account. And when we put our faith and trust in him alone, make that decision, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so if you're here and you're not sure about all this, one thing you can be sure about, if you will put your faith and trust in Christ alone and simply call out to him and ask him to come into your life and save you, he will do that. And then you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about here in this message. You'll be born again. What a wonderful day for that to happen on Resurrection Sunday. And so I pray, Lord, if anyone's listening to this and they're not sure of their eternal destiny, that they would make sure and that they would ask Christ to save them. And Lord, help us to have a wonderful day today, even though the virus is out there. Might we be able to celebrate in our hearts anyway. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, goodbye, and have a great rest of the day. God bless you all. Goodbye.